Y'all know what time it is. Your boy is back, fresh off the hiatus. It's time for the Shaw's Law Podcast. You know who I am and what I do. Rob Shaw, a.k.a. the Pod God, a.k.a. Harry Potter. And today I have a special guest, Max Van Auken of the MVP Podcast. And we're going to talk magic because it's that time of year, guys. It's time for season previews. And he's a credentialed magic aficionado at this point, like magic man.
Yes, I appreciate you having me on the show, and I like what you're doing. Keep doing it. And anytime I can help talk sports, it's my favorite thing to do, no matter where it is, no matter what time. So thank you for having me on.
All right. I love to let like my listeners know the guest's background with the team. Have you always been a Magic fan?
Well, it's not necessarily, I would say no, but like, obviously I'm from Daytona Beach, Florida. And so being from Daytona Beach, I'm about an hour away from Orlando. So all the games I went to when I was young, obviously covering the Orlando Magic, I've always been close with the team just because of location purposes. As far as a fan, I never actually was a fan of one team. I've always liked the glitz and glamour of LA. Now it's easy to say be a Lakers fan now, but I was always in love with like the Magic Johnsons, and you'd see all your favorite actors from movies on the sidelines. It just felt like a movie. So I always gravitated towards the Lakers, but the Magic will always have a special place in my heart just because of the first NBA team I've covered.
How old were you on their finals run in 09?
Well, I'm 23 years old now. So 2021, what would that be? That's 12.
You're about like 13-ish.
Yeah, it's 13. And that's like when, Tracy McGrady was like one of my first favorite basketball players, watching him throw it off the glass, T-Mac, like, and obviously him in Orlando was just a different beast. But yeah, 09, I remember going to some of those games. I didn't get to go to the finals, but I remember watching Dwight Howard, and just he was Orlando. Like, he was bigger than life. The two arm sleeves, the shoulders that looked like boulders, the defensive player of the year, sending shots in the stands. So, yeah, Orlando, it's always been a part of my life.
All right, so the Magic were 21 and 51 last year for a 291 winning percentage.
Yep.
But then, like, there's a lot of young talent on this team. So the notable additions I have, and let me know if I missed anybody, are obviously Jalen Suggs, mm-hmm. Robin Lopez, Franz Wagner, and I even put Jonathan Isaac. Even like, he's been on the team, but he's back.
Right.
Or, well, he doesn't know if he'll be back for opening night, but the assumption is he plays this year, and that's a big addition.
Right. Absolutely.
Did I miss any notable additions?
RJ Hampton, he came towards the end of the season from Denver.
Oh, I have so all those things. I do want to talk about that. Yeah.
Yeah, RJ Hampton is a big one for me. And then obviously Markelle Fultz coming back from injury. But as far as like that, like you said, the new acquisitions, like they've had Cole Anthony, they've had that young nucleus. As far as like new acquisitions this offseason, the draft, and yeah, you hit it.
Are you at all concerned that all these guys are lead guards? It's Suggs, Hampton, Fultz, Anthony. I guess Hampton's probably not an NBA lead guard, but like, I think the other three see themselves as lead guards. And I think Hampton sees himself as a combo. Do you think the cream will just rise to the top and you'll move everything, the Magic will move things out? Or do you think there could be a potential logjam?
It could be a potential logjam. You're definitely not crazy there. So it's up to new coaching staff and what they decide what they want to do, Coach Mosley. So like, basketball isn't as hard as some people make it out to be. And like, you just notice, hey, we got a bunch of guards here. So how is this going to work? Now, granted, 2021 guards dominate the league, right? I mean, obviously with the pace of the game, the way the game is played offensively. So you want to have a dynamic backcourt. But what the issue is, what's the team's identity? Because you don't have like one established guy where this is his team. So you're having a young nucleus. So like you said, is it just cream rises to the top? How does RJ Hampton develop if he's battling Jalen Suggs for playing time, if he's battling Markelle Fultz for playing time and Cole Anthony? So that's going to be a real, I think that right there is going to be the challenge of the season. is the understanding your team's identity and what backcourt you want to go to when you can go to it situationally, because it is a young team. So establishing identity is going to be the key at the beginning of the season.
And the front court's not as log jammed, but you still have Bamba, Wendell Carter, Jonathan Isaac, and I guess Okiki's sort of, to me, Okiki's sort of in the middle. He's like a power swingman, if you will. Like, he's not quite a big, but he's not a guard either. He's somewhere, in today's game, he's what you'd call a tweener, but in a good way.
Right, right. Absolutely. They have such a versatile team. And Jonathan Isaac, like you mentioned, I hope he comes back and he's good and ready to go. He's one of my favorite interviews I've ever done. He's a get it guy. He's versatile. He's long. Mo Bamba's really long, who can move his feet exceptionally well off the pick and rolls. I think this gives an opportunity, obviously, with Vooch in Chicago. This gives Mo Bamba a great opportunity that he really hasn't had the opportunity before. And that's to really work and develop your game. Because like you said, you had Aaron Gordon, you had Vucevic, and those two were already battling for their team. So Mo was kind of log jam, to use your phrase.
You also had Kareem Birch.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So that brings me to my next question. I'm a huge Mo Bamba believer. Mm-hmm. Like, I still have all my Mo Bamba stock. And I know it's a new coaching staff, but was the reason that the front office moved off of Birch to see what they had in Bamba? Or is there like an internal belief in Bamba in the organization? Like, if we clear minutes for this guy, he can be who we drafted at 5 out of Texas.
Right. I don't know if I have the answer that for you as far as internally and what they believe. I mean, their recent moves, if you just look at their acquisitions and the people they've traded and the direction that they're going in, we can just imply they're going backcourt heavy. And so when you go backcourt heavy, they're going young, they're going in a different direction. Obviously, with the trades that they've made, it's freed up more minutes. So I'm thinking that they do believe in Mo. Like, I'm a Mo believer just as you are. And Shad and I would go and cover these games. And when he did play, he was effective every single time. Now, I'm not saying he's perfect. I'm not saying he's going to go become an all-star as soon as he gets minutes. But the times that he had, he always flourished. He always made an impact. And that may not always show up on the stat sheet. It's not like Mo's going to give you 40 points, but just the way he impacts the game, just being on the floor, his presence, his length, how he's able to move, he can stretch the floor. I'm a Mo fan. I'm a Mo believer, just like you are. And so I think the organization, if they didn't believe in it, now they are, because they'll have more time to see it.
All right. Is there a player on this team that you think could possibly be an all NBA guy in the future?
I think the easy answer you'd say is Jalen Suggs, just because where he just got picked.
And the unknown, the magic of the unknown.
Yeah, the unknown. I think that's the easy answer. But I'm gonna take a different route, though, and I think RJ Hampton has incredible potential. And I think RJ Hampton, if developed correctly, if he can get that stride that I know that he can get, I think we're going to look back at it and be like, wow. It's almost like a Michael Porter Jr. in a way. Like, Michael Porter was one of the highest prospected players, obviously, and then he had his back injury, and then we saw him in Denver. He wasn't ever healthy, and then all of a sudden he got healthy, and I'm like, oh man, like, this guy's the future of this organization. I think RJ Hampton has that quality where, in the right situation, when developed, he possesses all those traits you'd want in an all NBA player.
So can you tell the listeners a little bit about his game? Like, I'm sure they've seen him, but not nearly as much as you, and not up close.
Right. His game, to me, fits the structure of 2021 basketball. And so you want a fast, quick twitch guard, somebody who can explode and get up and down, but has the length and versatility to do a little bit of everything, both offensively and defensively in the perimeter. Now, I think, like, people, when you see his speed, you're like, oh, it's like a Russell Westbrook type of guy. But I'm not saying he's a Russell Westbrook, because I think he has great size for the position. But that type of motor is not something you just get. Like, his NBA stride is not something you can just teach. Like, he was gifted that ability to have that NBA stride. So for those that haven't seen him, you'll be surprised the more you tune in, the more you watch him develop, because he hits another gear that other people don't hit.
So I mentioned that I don't necessarily think he's a lead guard. I see him as more of a combo guard. Is that mm-hmm. your thinking, or do you think he could be the primary initiator? Because I guess that's a little bit different than a lead guard. Like Luka might play with another point guard, but he's the primary initiator. Same with James right. Harden. Does right. he have that type of potential to be the focal point of an offense?
It's early to see, especially with the way this roster is constructed. I think he can, but to your point, I think he'll do what you're mentioning, being a combo guard, somebody that can play off the ball, run in transition, score, can still play make by not being the primary guy. And I think that's what he's going to need to do early, especially with the amount of guards that they have.
All right. So the Magic traded away Vucevic and Aaron Gordon. So what's the next step in the rebuild?
It's all about culture and identity. You don't have to have the best player in the world to change your culture. I mean, look at the New York Knicks are the perfect example of this. You change the coaching staff, you change their approach to the every game. Obviously, Julius Randle popped, but that's because Coach Thibodeau doesn't make – he maximizes the potential of his players. But it all started with the culture and buying in. So you have to find an identity, you have to understand the roles, and you have to create a culture. The Magic, the past, God, I can't even tell you last time the Magic have really understood their roles. It made me think the 09, like that Magic team understood their roles. They don't know their roles. Even when they had Aaron Gordon, Vooch, whose team was it? Vooch is your all-star, but Aaron Gordon is the guy who sells the tickets. So they didn't know who to go to late in games. So you need to find an identity. You have to understand the roles, and then you have to create a culture. Obviously, the new coaching staff, a young backcourt, they have the groundwork for it. Now it's time to get those reps in, get the games in and initiate it.
So what would you like the culture of the Magic to be if you were GM or coach?
Yeah.
What's your ideal culture for this Magic team?
We're not the most talented team as far as like having the superstars, the all-stars. So what we have to do is we have to play hard every single night. And I know that sounds cliche, but the Knicks, again, are a perfect example of that. Like you think you're playing hard, but you're really not playing every night hard like the Knicks were. We have to be a really fast athletic team because we have that. We have big, fast, lengthy guards and wings, and we have to play hard. So establish who that backcourt is, establish what combinations and rotations work, play hard and build an identity and get up and down. And I think the Magic have the potential to play in like a play-in tournament. I think they really do have that potential.
What do you know about Coach Mosley?
Not enough. I'm not enough because one thing that I'm trying to do is I'm trying to see what he can do with this team. You know, and it may sound weird, but I think oftentimes we look at coaching staff and we immediately think of their position prior. And that doesn't always reflect what they could do with what's in front of them now. Look at Coach Vogel. He was in the Orlando Magic. Didn't work out. Where is he now? He's in LA. He's won a championship. Now, granted, he has LeBron. And
that LeBron guy helps out.
Yeah, of course. LeBron does help. But I like to evaluate what he's going to do with what's in front of him now.
All right. Who do you think starts for this team?
Oh, that's a tough question. That is such a tough question because I don't know what the injury report is looking like with Markelle Fultz, if he's supposed to debut the opening night. But he's coming off an injury, so Markelle Fultz probably won't start. I could imagine – I watched some of the summer league. I can imagine a Cole Anthony, Jalen Suggs type of backcourt.
That's where I was leaning due to the injuries. But I don't know. You talked up RJ Hampton that I wouldn't be surprised if – it might be Hampton and Suggs. In my mind, and you can disagree, I don't know if there's a world where Suggs doesn't start for them.
Yeah, especially being the lottery pick that he was. Yeah,
exactly.
Bringing some hope into it. They want to see him succeed. So if you said, I think you mentioned Jonathan Isaac may be clear to play opening night.
It's still unclear. I hope so. And I'd assume you pencil him in once he's healthy.
Oh, yeah, once healthy, he's the guy on this team probably because of what he's able to do both offensively and defensively. They have Gary Harris. Gary Harris was a really good pickup. Obviously, Robin Lopez at the center. But I think figuring out that backcourt and to your point with injuries and availability and marketing purposes, because it is a business at the end of the day, Jalen Suggs, and I think Cole Anthony would probably be the safe bet.
And you think Lopez is going to start at center?
I'll go Mo. I think Mo starts. Mo starts at center. So you go Cole Anthony, Jalen Suggs, Mo Bamba, Jonathan Isaac was healthy, and I'm trying to see who the four would be. It's tough.
Do you think they could go three guards and Isaac as a four?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's what I like about this team. When healthy, they could be very versatile. They could play small ball. They can play big. You got Lopez, but you can go big. You can go small with the three guards. Like you said, Isaac at the four could easily play that position. I don't think people understand how versatile he really is. Like, is he skinny? Absolutely. But a lot of the NBA is now. And he's so lengthy, and he knows how to use his length. So you could easily put him at the four.
Because I think Gary Harris, just from a, like one you mentioned, it's a business, from a money perspective as well. I'm sorry.
Damn it. You're okay.
From a money perspective and a NBA cachet perspective, like who he is and who he's been around the league. Like, he's not a star, but he's a respected veteran.
Yeah.
I could see it being Anthony, Harris, and Suggs with Isaac and Bamba, or even maybe Lopez.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because Gary Harris does have a reputation as a guy who gets after it on the defensive end of the floor. So you're not scared of your lack of size.
Right, absolutely. No, I think that would be a pretty good lineup.
All right. My next question is, I'm a sucker for brothers on a team. And the Magic have acquired brothers. Mo and Franz are both Michigan State former players. They're brothers. And I just always think that's a fun NBA dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
We had the Morris twins together in Phoenix, both the Dragics in Phoenix as well as Miami. But Franz Wagner was a first round pick this year. Do you think he contributes?
Yeah, especially in the half court set. He's a very he's a problem solver. He's a very methodical guy. He analyzes. I think he'll be what balances out this team, because, like I said, this team is really up and down, very athletic. His approach is more of the half court, that type of approach, that type of set. And I think that will balance a lot of the up and down at times that they'll need.
Are you worried about shooting from this team?
Yeah. Obviously, 2021, you have to be able to shoot the ball. You don't have to be Golden State necessarily in their peak, but you have to at least be consistent enough to be a threat. And with young players, typically young players aren't the most refined shooters, unless that's what you're specially known as. There's not a lot of shooting on this team, so that's not going to be their strength, but it is a little bit of a concern, because you want to make sure they can knock down the three.
And like, Cole Anthony hit some big shots last year. I don't have his percentages in front of me, but he's, at the very least, he's confident enough to shoot it.
Right.
Jalen Suggs, we all have his one shining moment locked in our head for forever.
Mm-hmm.
The half quarter versus UCLA.
Right.
And it's not, as far as I know, Wagner can shoot a little bit.
Yep.
Franz can shoot. And like I said, Mo Bamba's not a bad floor spacing big. The first time I saw him play, he was 16. And even then, he had like very nice touch out to probably about like 15 to 18 feet.
Yeah. He has a nice shooting stroke, but he has, and like you said, a good touch. A lot of bigs wouldn't have that soft touch. He has a soft touch.
All right. What are your expectations for the team this year? What would you deem a successful season?
Play-in tournament. That's what we need to go for. Yeah. And you have to be aggressive with your expectations. If you go in like, we're not a playoff team, then you're not going to ever become a playoff team. So we can't, as Magic fans, media members, we need success at some point. You can only keep blowing it off, the rebuild. I know that sounds like it's a little bit impatient considering we just drafted some of the guys. But I do believe we, with this young nucleus, if put in the right positions, can be effective enough to play in the play-in tournament.
So you're expecting a large uptick in wins because they did 21 last year. What do you think the play to get to the play-in tournament? I'd guess they need probably at least 33 to 35.
Yeah, and I think that's doable. I do. Obviously, you're going to have your struggles early. Really, that's contingent on injuries. Like if Markelle Fultz is healthy, if Jonathan Isaac is healthy, then that should be reasonable. I don't think they're obviously they won't make a deep playoff push. They're not on that type of time, but what they can be is a really tough team to play that you know is going to play hard. And in the regular season, if you play hard enough, that will buy you an X amount of wins. And so if you can consistently do that, I think they can push to a playoff, at least a play-in tournament game.
All right. What's the Markelle Fultz experience been like?
I love it. So I bought a bunch of stock in Markelle Fultz because everyone was writing him off. He's a bust. He can't play. It was such a low risk, high reward, perfect situation for Orlando. He comes to Orlando. He delivers a lot more than what people were giving him credit for. And then obviously he gets injured. So the injury bug, you can't just look past that. That is an issue. You want him to stay healthy. But as far as people writing him off to what he is now, he can be a solid NBA player. He can contribute. It is a low risk, high reward, and now we're seeing the rewards. I think he's going to continue that uptick trend, and I would continue to buy some stock in Markelle.
Okay, that's good to know. I was a big Fultz fan. I would still pay money that I can't afford to find out what really happened to him in a 30 for 30.
Right, right.
All right. Do you have anything to pitch? Where can they find your podcast, The MVP?
Yep. So I'm on any podcast platform, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio. Something happened with Spotify, I noticed today, but YouTube, my name is my brand, my Instagram, my Twitter, it's Max Van Auken, V-A-N space A-U-K-E-N. You can find me anywhere. You type in my name, I pop up. So check it out. I just had Joy Taylor on the show and about to record a couple more this following week and just continuing to put in the work and grind. I appreciate you having me.
So make sure you guys subscribe to the MVP anywhere you get podcasts. Max, I really appreciate you giving me some of your time. Anything else you want to tell the people?
First of all, thank you again for having me. Let's put those expectations on Orlando. Let's put those expectations as far as them delivering, because I think they can. I don't want us to go in thinking it's another bad year. We have to change the mindset if we want to be successful.
Max, thank you for your time. I really appreciate you popping on the show with me.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.